overthrow suppression and make ourselves heard till they finally get the message. And let them know the power of the people is a weapon they don't wanna fuck with unless they down for Armageddon. Can't waste another second, I'ma fight until the evil deceased. Stay online trying to take away your freedom of speech. You don't fit the narrative or keep the people asleep. You get your platform stripped for deceiving the weak. It's fucked up, and honestly we gotta make a change. The freedoms that we have are all at stake as the currency inflates. They season every dollar in your bank just for questioning the power that's in place. They got us in restraints, but they will never censor me. Best believe I'ma fight till I rest in peace. Yes indeed, the slave ship isn't for me. I'd rather die on my feet than to live on my knees.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope you've got your kush and your coffee for today's episode. What day is it? Sunday? I don't know why it's Sunday. What's Sunday? What's a day? What's a week? What's numbers? Starting already. It's really early in the morning. Sunday, May 22nd. Let's get it. Let's see here. I got an interesting article here about the new suicide hotline, which some people aren't really very impressed with. I don't know how I feel about it. See, the last hotline, I'm not entirely sure if it's still going to be running after this or not, but the last hotline was a national hotline, which means it was the same all over the country. And I mean, the number is the same, but each state is going to be running their own, like, little fucking thing on how to run it. So if you call 988 in New Jersey and then go to, I don't know, say Connecticut and then dial 988, you might have a completely different experience. We don't know. What's also very interesting is that no one's reporting on it. Oh, no one's reporting on this. I can only imagine why. They're just, you know, the world is in turmoil right now. You know, COVID is coming back. Ukraine is on fire. We just need to stop everything that we're doing. We need to focus on North Korea's COVID outbreak. And we need to focus on Ukraine. We don't need to focus on anything else. What's weird is that, I don't know, CNN is what? Looking for... They're just reporting on every possible thing that no one else is reporting on, I guess. I don't know. Who the fuck knows? I don't really like reporting CNN's reports. But that's all right. That's all right. We're going to follow the genesis of this 988. Because it's releasing this summer. Let's see, May 17th. This article was released May 17th by Jacqueline Howard, CNN. States prepare for summer launch of new 988 suicide prevention number. Its efficacy? We don't know yet. Hold on. Oh, I need to light some of this kush. You know what I'm saying? And I got a special guest coming in a couple of hours. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. See, everyone that I've pretty much interviewed up until this point on Kush Coffee and Collabos, I had like a whole 2-3 pages of shit to look at and blah blah blah. This guy's got a whole website. He contacted me the other day. He's like, hey, yeah, what particular topics would we be talking about? I'm like, listen, my friend. I am an inquisitive, investigative person. I just look, you have a whole website for me to hack apart, my friend. It's all good. It's all good. A whole website. I know it's going to be interesting. Let's see. This summer, every state will be rolling out 988 as the new national suicide prevention lifeline number to call for mental health crisis. Similar to how people call 911 for medical emergencies. But in some states, questions remain around funding and transitions, staffing call centers, and having response teams ready. The transition to 988 is not optional. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, no more than half of the states have enacted or introduced legislation in preparation for 988's debut, scheduled for July 16th, according to the data from National Academy for State Health Policy. Beginning July 16th of this year, all 988 calls will be routed to the National Suicide Hotline, so there isn't a need for state legislation to make that critical step happen. Interesting. So I guess, like, my original, you know, like, so, and that's the point that I wanted to make, why you don't just read the fucking title or the subtitle. You actually have to read the article, because the title is not going to tell you everything. The title is there to grab you, you know, and then you read everything. You don't read the title and be like, oh, and derive all of this information from it yourself, because that's how you come up with false media and all this other stupid shit. And then you're going to go on social media and then regurgitate this stupid shit. You might as well just stop being a lazy fuck, spend the 15 minutes and actually read the fucking article. Beginning July 16th of this year, all 988 calls will be routed to the National Suicide Hotline, so there isn't a need for state legislation to make that critical step happen. State legislation is more about how to fund and organize this work within existing mental health systems, and imposing telecom fees may not be ideal or well received in some states. So there is likely continuing conversation where that is the case. Telecom fees. Let's see, who said that? Jody Manns, Project Director of Behavioral Health, Aging, and Disability at the Health Policy Group. Imagine calling 988 and you get a fucking telecom fee after from the state. Imagine that. As of May, at least 13 states, Alabama, Colorado, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, Minnesota, Nebraska, Nevada, New York, Oregon, Texas, Virginia, and Washington have enacted legislation to fund and implement 988. Lawmakers in many other states remain in legislative sessions, so that will likely increase. Well, yeah, I hope so. And at least 11 states, California, Florida, Idaho, Kansas, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Vermont, and Washington have introduced new or additional legislation, according to the data from the group. Since states are in different places in terms of their current crisis systems, they may not need major change that would require legislation, and or they may be using federal dollars for initial investments, Manns wrote. I would like to know which states are using federal dollars for initial investments. I would genuinely be very happy to know that list of fucking states. Like, bunch of states are like, yeah, we don't know. We don't even, it's probably like all the states with legalized marijuana, like, oh, I don't even know, I'm just fucking around. So many states are taking the time to study how to do this as well. States must transition to 988 as a universal number. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline has been in operation since 2005 and is funded by the HHS's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration. Callers currently reach the critical 24/7 national hotline by phoning the 10-digit number 1-800-273-8255. In 2020, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission's five leaders unanimously voted to finalize the 988 as the three-digit number Americans can dial to be connected to the existing Lifeline's network of trained counselors. That year, the National Suicide Hotline Designation Act of 2020 became law. amending the Communications Act of 1934 to designate 988 as the universal telephone number for the purpose of the National Suicide Prevention and Mental Health Crisis Hotline System, operating through the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and through the Veterans Crisis Line and for other purposes. Very interesting. Very interesting. I like that. Amending the... What was the communications? See, this is where we stop, and I guess I want to know what the Communications Act of 1934. So they had to amend that to change to make this a thing. So let's go to my non-Google browser, because whatever, it doesn't even matter anymore. The Communications Act of 1934. Let's see here. The Communications Act of 1934 combined and organized federal regulation of telephone, telegraph, and radio communications. The act created the Federal Communications created the FCC to oversee and regulate these industries. The act is updated periodically to add provisions and governing new communication technologies such as broadcast cable and satellite television. The Communications Act, as amended in an expansive statute regulating U.S. telephone, telegraph, television, and radio communications. Its seven subchapters regulate virtually all aspects of the communications and broadcasting industry, including assignment of frequencies, rates and fees, standards, competition, terms of subscriber access, commercials, broadcasting in the public interest, government use of communication systems. The Act also provides for more detailed regulation and oversight via the establishment of the FCC. Oh, so yeah, they just had to, fuck with that a little bit, I suppose, to get this going. So yeah, they just had to, that's very, very interesting that, like, this is a piece of history that we're watching happen and that actually no one is actually watching happen. And it's a piece of communications history. So this summer, history is made, communications history, which I'm particularly fond of as I sit here on this fucking microphone and talk to you, or talk to whoever. I just need to light this up here real quick. Let's get back to it. Now that we know what the Communications Act of 1934 is... See here. All right. Starting July 16th, the FCC will establish 988 as an easy-to-remember three-digit dialing code for suicide prevention and mental health crisis. Calls to that number will be redirected to 1-800-273-8255, which will stay operational during and after the 988 transition. Yeah, well, that answers my original question. We want you to know that if you are suffering severe stress and emotional trauma, if you aren't sure where to go, even if it's not at a point of suicide, we want you to call. We want you to reach out. That is the purpose of the 988 Lifeline that is hopefully going to go live mid-July across the country. HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra, I know I said that wrong, and I'm sorry, said in Washington State Friday. Quote unquote, no longer will people have to call a 10-digit phone number to try and get help. What 911 is for local emergencies, we hope 988 will become people under emotional and mental stress. And it is important that we launch right. Yeah, I really hope that it is important that you launch right. You can tell that this is not being ran by the state of New Jersey. Because, first of all, it would take about 10 years for them to do this. It would take a good 5 years for them to amend the 1934 Communications Act, and then like another 5 years to set the system in place. Last year, the FCC unanimously voted to require text messages sent to 988 be routed to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline as a part of the launch as well. States must transition to 988 as a universal number for mental health crisis. And Congress has provided support to states to do so by allowing them to implement state mechanisms for funding and by providing technical assistance, opportunities, and direct funding to states. Man's woke. Because this number is universal across the nation, states must adjust their existing call center systems to align to 988. Yes, align with 988. Let's see, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration has awarded nearly $105 million in grants to states and territories for the transition to 988 and to support call centers as well. Imagine that. Last year, SAMHSA also announced $177 million to support strengthening and expanding the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline Network operations and infrastructure. Administered by the organization Vibrant Emotional Health. Huh. Yeah. So I went to this website here, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and literally the first fucking thing, like the first thing is all this funding information. Let's see. Is first thing, Biden administration announces $1.5 billion for state opioid response funding. We'll get there. We will get there. Thank you for providing this information, for it will give Cushion Coffee content forever. Yes. Yes. I'm excited for that one. That's going to be a good one. All right, let's get back to it. So the intersection of opioid crisis and mental health. Yeah, we're still on CNN here. No worries, because no one else is fucking talking about it, I suppose. I guess we just care so much about North Korea's COVID outbreak. We care so much about it. We want them to be healthy and okay, right? There's nothing more that I want as an individual human being than for all North Koreans to be healthy and COVID free. As the launch approaches, local health departments appear to welcome the three-digit number, said Lori Trammell Freeman, chief executive officer. I think it'll be welcomed by our state and local health departments, Freeman said, adding that many of the states that have made early preparations for the transition 988, such as West Virginia and Massachusetts, have seen increases in mental health concerns tied to the opioid epidemic. Huh. Hmm. Let's see. Let's just let that settle for a second here. Some of the states that have been the hardest hit by the drug overdoses, which also include Indiana, Kentucky, and New York, were among the earliest to introduce legislation and to implement and fund 988 in preparation for the July rollout or to receive a federal grant for the Imagine New York was on the top of the list to receiving federal money. New York was like, yep, people kill themselves here all the time. They also die from COVID here all the time. You know what? Everything is just happening all the time here in New York City. West Virginia is interesting coming out of the gate. they've just been so hard hit by the opioid crisis, which of course leads to mental health challenges, but that also can be a precursor to the opioid epidemic itself. So it makes sense that they will be one of the first ones to step forward. I think we'll see other states do it quickly as well. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in the United States for people ages 10 to 34. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in the United States for people ages 10 to 34. 10 to 34. What the fuck are you people doing out there? What are you doing? What are you doing? 10 to fucking 34? Are you serious? And I'll say it again. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in the United States for people ages 10 to 34. And the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention describes it as a serious public health problem. See, we're starting to get me all fired up here. So why the fuck do we listen to the CDC when they say, oh, mask this, mask that, vax this, vax that, vax that? But the second they stop talking about COVID and start talking about suicide, and everybody's like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Pay attention. Stop listening to the fucking news. Start actually reading these fucking articles that you see. Stop paying attention to Ukraine or what everyone is telling you to fucking pay attention to. Fuck that. While you watch Fox News like a fucking TV show, someone in the next apartment or the next room or the next house over, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, is killing themselves, currently dying, while you sit your fat fucking ass on the couch watching Netflix, doing fucking nothing. After justifying yourself and your whole fucking existence by working 40 hours a fucking week. That's a justifiable existence in my... Get the fuck out of here. Stand up and do something. Actually go out and fucking find someone who's hurting. Find someone who's in pain. You know? Volunteer yourself, your time, your money, your everything. Do something. Fucking Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We need to... smoke some fucking weed here at Cushion Coffee. I know I need a Xanax. No, we don't take Xanax here. We just smoke weed. The CDC said that it's a serious problem. But if the CDC is talking about BA.2 suck my dick monkeypox, we'd all be doing what? Lining up out my fucking door ready to suck my dick. That's right. Fucking people are retarded, are ridiculous. Ridiculous. Fucking do something. That the CDC describes it as a serious public health problem. The intersection of the opioid epidemic and the nation's mental health crisis has also become a grim and growing public health concern. Really? Fucking really? It doesn't really seem like it, seeing as to how nobody is talking about it. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody's doing anything. Well, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Let's see. If I am not feeling so hot mentally and I stumble across every minute possible fucking iota of a goddamn chance, I stumble across this Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the first one right above COVID-19 fucking treatment. Suck my dick. Find treatment. Let's see. You click on it. Find your closest treatment location. Need to talk? We're here to help. Like, all of this is just like, what is all of this? Opioid Treatment Program Directory. All right, let's see here. I am in New Jersey. Let's see, program. Blah, blah, blah. So, let's see. Did I mention that you probably have to be pretty well off to be to go to the John Brooks Recovery Center, right? You need to have insurance to go to the resource center for the chemically dependent, right? I'm sure you need insurance to go to Spectrum Healthcare in Jersey City or Inter-County Council on Drug and Alcohol Abuse in Kearney. You know, whatever. Fucking anyway, let's continue. Among high school students, for instance, the misuse of prescription opioid drugs is associated with increases in the risk for suicide-related behaviors. Imagine that. A study published last year found that about one of every three high school students who said they were misusing prescription opioids reported that they had attempted suicide. Imagine that. The study used data from more than 13,000 U.S. high schoolers' responses to the CDC's 2019 Youth Risk Behavior Survey. Let's get another one out. Let's do 2022. Let's see how we're feeling after fucking lockdowns. Overall, suicide rates in the United States increased 30% between 2000 and 2018, according to the CDC. To lower those numbers, the launch of the 988 serves as a first step towards a transformed crisis care system in much the same way as emergency medical services have expanded. Okay. In the United States, right, SAM HSA is first focused on strengthening and expanding the existing Lifeline network, providing life-saving service to all who call, text, or chat via 988. Longer term, SAMHSA, we're just calling it SAMHSA, recognizes that linking those in crisis to community-based providers who can deliver a full range of crisis care services is essential to meeting behavioral crisis needs across the nation. How are you going to do it? There is no how. There's no, yeah, we're going to do it this way, and this is how we're going to do it. You're going to do it with your $150 million fucking dollars. You're going to fund a nationwide suicide prevention hotline with $175 million, when the second leading cause of death between 10 and 34 is suicide, but you only want to spend $170 million fucking dollars. That's it. That's all you want to spend to strengthen this hotline. You don't want to, I don't know, action, like, and it gets better. This stupid fucking article gets better. It gets better. I don't know if I'm being too highly critical or not. I don't care. But it's just, like, none of this seems like it's even remotely digestible. Like the national hotline itself. Like, it's not even a remotely digestible, like, unit. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck. How? Call centers seek more counselors. And, imagine this. Watch this one. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is looking to hire more counselors in its call centers as it rolls out 988. This is a great time to be a crisis counselor, Draper says. This is a great time to be a counselor. Yeah, you have the fucking phone ringing off the hook. This is a great time. Yeah, you got people killing themselves online, on the phone line. And yeah, it's a great fucking time. You Yeah, watch. I'm not even done yet. Our centers are looking for people who are willing to step up and do this work, and our training programs are excellent in terms of preparing people to do this important work. So we've been working with both our states and our centers to prepare for this big day for actually quite some time, Draper said. People who are interested in learning more can visit the website that I'm on now that we've been tearing apart here. All right, so see, practitioner training, bang, right there. Technology transfer centers. suicide prevention resource, and blah, blah. You know, when Bill killed himself, I actually tried very hard to be a national suicide hotline counselor. And guess what? They told me I couldn't. Imagine that. Why? Because I was emotionally distressed from my recent tragedy. I was like, nah, it's not like that. Like, I feel good. We're good. I think they were right. Call centers are looking for empathetic volunteers, employees, and interns to serve as crisis counselors answering the phone, chats, and texts, as well as managers with advanced degrees. Staff hired as a part of the expansion could be offered remote work options and do not necessarily have to be licensed mental health professionals. You don't have to be a licensed mental health professional. Why not? Why don't you come up with your own little license? The 988 license or something. I'm not really one for regulations and licenses, but like, you know, I mean, I'm also not one for going to college and being in 15 years of debt either. So, you know, I mean, like, if this is like a way where you can get into and then start your mental health career, that'd be great, actually, you know. So I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm being a little too critical. It's just the CDC saying that it's a public health crisis. That got to me a little bit. No worries. We're back here. We're back chilling. Let's see here. They can have a bachelor's degree or previous experience as peer support workers, and some might consider apprenticeship opportunities. Huh. This is not a situation where we're only looking for licensed mental health professionals, he said. Palmieri and his colleagues have been looking at some of those ways that we can increase pipeline development, career engagement for individuals. There's too many fucking commas. You're fucking me up here. He said, adding that they are also thinking about the importance of retention of current staff and decreasing burnout because providing crisis can be challenging work. It can't. No, I don't think so. Providing crisis care can be challenging work. It can. For sure. People are, especially in the middle of crisis, they're not listening. Many crisis centers have operated with volunteers for many years, and they can convert volunteers to paid staff. Yeah. So in a world where we all are fucking broke, starving, and struggling, we just want to sit on our ass and be a volunteer and wait to be a paid volunteer. Like, what the fuck is, what is that? You're just sitting there waiting. So already there's a workforce ready to be paid and actually do full-time work. Imagine that. Full-time. Sitting there waiting to talk to people on the edge full-time. You'd have to be paying me a lot of fucking money, man. A lot. We can really start to build career pathways for people in crisis care that we've never had before. And that's the ridiculously not anticlimactic ending to that article. Very, it's emotional roller coaster. I think that's just me. I think I'm the emotional roller coaster. But that article took about a half hour. I have another one. It's not light and fluffy either. So, all right, like I said, we already got the momentum. Let's keep it. What causes a lot of mental health problems and a lot of addiction problems? Well, I can only guess that if it's 10 through 34, I'm just going to throw a fucking dart in the dark here and say that a decent amount of it, if not a lot, has to do with parenting. I have an article here. It's labeled How to Recover from the Impacts of Narcissistic Parenting. Now, narcissism is like one of those words today, like racism and like racist and like conspiracy theorist, you know, like they it's just thrown all around, and it's just narcissism is a very, very deep rooted problem and takes a very long time to even know that you're doing it. There are a lot of narcissists that are acting narcissistic and don't even know it, you know. Don't ever go into or around a narcissistic page, a narcissism page, help page, mental health narcissism page on Facebook. They are literally riddled with narcissists. And it's a narcissism help page. So obviously it's riddled with narcissists. A lot of them are out of control because they're just sitting on their fucking phone bashing people and fucking being toxic on social media all fucking day. And whatever. See, narcissistic people are usually narcissism victims. So, and they usually have BPD. So when you have BPD or borderline personality disorder, when you have BPD and you are subject to someone who is narcissistic, you can actually adopt their tendencies a lot faster than if, say, you're just, you know, say you just have anxiety or you have anxiety or depression. That doesn't mean you're not going to adopt their behaviors, because at some point you're going to. You may adopt their behaviors and not even know that you're adopting their behaviors. I had to route out a good section of narcissistic tendencies out of my behaviors, thought patterns, and shit as well. So, I mean, it's not, it could be a light infection, it can be a heavy infection, but more often than not, it's an infection that you don't even know is there. So, especially if your parents were narcissistic, you probably are suffering from the beginning. You're probably suffering from some form of BPD, because narcissists literally suck the personality out of you. So if you're raised by narcissists, you're not gonna express yourself in a healthier or, you know, relatively quote unquote normal, you know, fashion. You know, you're gonna express yourself in very toxic and unhealthy ways. See some key points here. It's a Psychology Today article. I don't even know if I'm allowed to do this, like read these articles. I could give a fuck less though, or couldn't. I couldn't actively working. Let's see, some key points are: the impacts of narcissistic parenting can be unique to the individual who lives through it. Very true. An adult child of a narcissist may believe their worthiness depends on how they act and what they do, not on who they are. Learning what healthy boundaries are and how to set them with others is critical for those recovering from narcissistic parenting. Let's see. While the impacts on the child will vary as widely as the ways in which narcissistic parenting may manifest, some of the impacts may include absorbing and deeply believing in dysfunctional and destructive emotional templates of what love looks like. That's a lot. There's a lot to uncover there. I mean, absorbing and deeply believing in dysfunctional and destructive emotional templates of what love looks like. So, I mean, yeah, okay. Okay. Destructive emotional templates. I like that. I like that term. It explains a lot. So I'm guessing a destructive emotional template would be like a response and reaction type of thing, like a format. Like something happens and then you know, instead of processing it properly and reacting, you know, properly, you are filled with all of these destructive emotions and become destructive yourself. Believing their worthiness depends on how they act, what they do, not who they are, or not believing that they are worthy just for existing. Struggling with setting healthy and appropriate boundaries, failing to recognize healthy romantic partners, and even being drawn to dating or marrying narcissists themselves. Falling into caretaking and rescuing roles. Seeking validation and worthiness from taking care of others and people pleasing. Neglecting their needs and wants, or even being needless and wantless. Having a hard time trusting that their feelings and thoughts are valid and that their needs will ever be met. Deeply struggling with their self-esteem and maintaining a stable and cohesive sense of self. Attempting to cope with their emotional pain from a childhood of neglect and emotional abuse through addictive and self-destructive substances and behaviors. Possibly growing up to become narcissists themselves. And again, this list is in no way exhaustive of all the psychological impacts being parented by a narcissist may have on someone. The impacts will vary and will depend on the context of the child or adult child, how strong their sense of self was, whether it had stabilizing functional relationships with other adults in their childhood, whether they were a scapegoat or favorite child, how much or how little contact they had with narcissists, etc. Ultimately, though, the adult children of narcissists will likely face complex psychological healing tasks as a result of their parenting experiences. Yeah, imagine that. Let's see. The healing work required by adult children of narcissists will likely include the following tasks. Educate yourself, whether this is through books or through professional support. You will likely need to begin learning about what narcissism is, how it can show up in parenting, and what its possible impacts can look like. The first step in any healing process is bringing awareness to what is, and I find that psychoeducation about narcissists can be deeply illuminating as you begin to make sense of your past. Confront your personal history of trauma and neglect. I strongly recommend, this isn't me speaking, I'm reading an article. I'm just reiterating that. I strongly recommend working with a trauma therapist or a trained professional as you begin to remember, talk about, and make sense of your past. You know what that means? That doesn't mean go on fucking Facebook and find a meme and be like, oh, my partner exhibits this behavior, and this behavior. They have to be a narcissist. Close your phone, look at them, and be an asshole to them, because that's narcissistic in and of itself. That's a tendency by itself. So tread carefully, my friends. And back to the article. And side note, don't necessarily look to your own family of origin for an accurate reflection of your personal history if you have memory gaps or questions. Well, all right. Basically said, don't ask your family any fucking questions. Don't trust nobody. Grieve what you did not receive. Inevitably, in the course of educating yourself and confronting your past, you will need to grieve what you did not receive, which essentially was a chance to truly be a kid. This grieving process may take quite some time. It can at times often feel endless, but it's so valid and necessary to your healing process. I mean, I don't know. I'm not doing any personal relations here. This is purely for you. Work through the developmental milestones you may not have achieved. Often, as children of narcissists, we don't fully get the chance to be children or teens with our own identities, needs, wants, and preferences. We may also have missed out on certain development milestones like lifestyle experimentation, dating, or even the pursuit of education or career we wanted due to the impacts of psychologically unhealthy parenting. It's, therefore, part of your healing work to begin working through any developmental milestones in conjunction with your personal history, confrontation, and grieving work. That's right. Set boundaries. You'll need to set boundaries with either narcissists still in your life, or those you may be over-accommodating and catering to. Learning what healthy boundaries are and how to set them with others is critical to those recovering from narcissistic parenting. Seek out healthier, more functional relationships at first. These may feel hard, if not impossible, to recognize, and you may not trust yourself that you can actually draw these kinds of relationships into your personal life. That's okay. Start with your relationship with your therapist, a trained professional whose job it is to show up in a healthy, functional way, and allow them to show you what could be possible in healthier relationships over time may influence you to attract it into your personal life. Interesting. I didn't know that was what a therapist was supposed to do, but all right. Focus your healing and recovery work on developing a more cohesive and stable sense of self. For most adult children of narcissists, the core healing work revolves around developing a more cohesive and stable sense of self, learning to love and value ourselves for who we are, not for who we think we should be to win approval. A poor sense of self can impact every area of your life, from physical and mental health to your relationships and career advancement. It can even impact your bank account. So cultivating and developing a more cohesive and stable sense of self with the help of a therapist can be a wonderful way to focus your healing work. Not entirely sold on that. Not entirely sold. No, We're not sold on that. Let's see here. Focus your healing and recovery work on developing a more cohesive sense. For most adults, the impacts of narcissistic parenting can be severe, but they can also be overcome. It's true. I believe it. That was a pretty vague article. I thought it was a little longer than that. No worries. So yeah, there's your random Sunday 2 articles. some rough articles, but we'll get there as a society. Probably not in my lifetime. Hopefully, we don't fucking kill each other or ourselves or whatever. Just need to fucking stop bullshitting. We just bullshit way too much. We need to act like I'm not one to be innocent of this. You know, we all have stayed plugged in a little too long. It's time to unplug now. You know, it's time to unplug and understand that we are fucking killing each other. We're suffocating each other, and we need to stop doing it. All this fucking merry-go-round, do-si-do of bullshit that's just constant needs to fucking stop, and it starts with you. It starts with you, you know? The second leading cause of death between ages 10 and 34 isn't fucking racism. It's not fucking Ukraine. It's not fucking COVID either. So I don't know. No. If you made it this far listening to my stupid ass, much appreciated. Much love. Stay lifted. Cushion coffee, my friends.